This podcast is a member of the Place to Be Nation family. Visit us at placetobenation.com, the only place to be in your pop culture world.
Now what you hear is not a drag, because Mr. DJ Quick got a brand new bag, but first I got a bang bang.
Welcome to the Shoot Faction Podcast, featuring multi-time independent wrestling champion Amazing Maria, along with myself, Zaire, director of two pro wrestling documentaries available on Amazon Video. New Girls in Town, starring Mia Yim, Marty Bell, Shayna Baszler, Kelly Klein, and Nicole Savoy, as well as High Heels, featuring Amazing Maria and Booker T. Feel free to follow us and interact on Twitter at Rebel Life Media and at Amazing_Maria. Our second episode touches on seeing Sherri Martel naked, the best jobber of all time, a teenage girl's lust over Marty Jannetty, growing up in rural Kentucky with three TV stations, and how Randy Savage pissed off a little boy in Cleveland. Please enjoy.
So we want to talk about some things that make us smile about wrestling, right? So last show we started to touch on jobbers. People that I called weekend wrestlers as a kid. The weekend wrestlers. And so you think about people like Steve Lombardi, who was the Brooklyn Brawler, and Barry Horowitz. I used to love how he used to pat himself on the back all the time. Like, I wasn't noticing that at first, but then I started noticing it, like, this dude pats himself on the back every week, so he gets beat, but he still got confidence every single week. Iron Mike Sharp was another one. He just used to get beat so bad. I didn't know that Iron Mike Sharp had any wins. Because every Saturday, he got destroyed. You know what I'm saying? And he made a lot of noise.
Right.
But I want to say the greatest jobber ever, in my opinion, Leapin' Lanny Poffo.
Aww.
Brother of the Macho Man. Leaping Lanny Poffo.
You gonna call Leaping Lanny a jobber? Poor
well,
Lanny.
Yeah, I mean, he used to get beat every weekend, too.
It's true.
He read his poem, threw out his frisbees, and took his beat.
And took his beat down, counted lights.
But what he did, dude, he had some special moves. He did moonsaults when people weren't doing moonsaults like that. Like, not Americans, you know?
Right.
So I thought it was really dope, the moveset he had. And I'm not a work rate snob. Like, to me, if you got a great character and you can't work, and people still like you.
There's a difference in being able to wrestle and being able to work.
Mm-hmm. Right.
So if you can work,
right,
it's okay if you're not so good at the wrestling.
Right.
You know? So.
Right. You just got to convince people that you're worth spending money on. So, Leaping Lanny Poffo definitely has skills. Once again, Brother the Macho Man, they had some similarities, but they had differences too, different personalities, but they had similar move types and kind of similar body frames, but...
Right.
But Macho was the star.
You know, and they're from where I'm actually from. Like, they
where are you from?
Georgetown, Kentucky. Like, they wrestled right down
Macho
here.
Man from everywhere. He was born in Columbus and grew up here, grew up
He grew up in Lexington and Georgetown. They used to work down there. And Lanny, I was on a show with Lanny back about 3 months ago. Mm-hmm. And he came up and he had Macho's, you know, Hall of Fame ring and everything, and was doing, like, a little signing and stuff. And I was surprised that he remembered who it was, because, you know, I'd met him a couple times before, but he's like, you're that girl. So that, I'm like, all right, you know, of course. But no, that girl from where, you know, from back home, you know. I used to wrestle in the gardens down there, the little convention center, whatever they used to call it. He's like, what is that now? And I'm like, it's a batting cage, man. Turn it into some batting cages.
Hey.
But yeah, Lanny's a good, he's good people.
So when I call somebody a jobber, to me, that's not an insult. Everybody has a job in pro wrestling. Sometimes your job is to be beaten. And I think that these days, we just have a culture of just crapping on people. So nothing's good enough, and nothing, you know, and if you are bad, then you're bad. So it's like, I don't know, like, all the people, I thought the Ultimate Warrior said it best. when he did his Hall of Fame speech, when he talked about...
Okay, I was going to say, could you understand something that the Ultimate Warrior said?
When he did his Hall of Fame speech, though, that's funny, he actually talked about how, you know, he thanked the jobbers, he thanked the people that...
He sure
the
did.
Enhancement talent, which is the proper name, because without them, he wouldn't look as indestructible. I like when jobbers get in some offense, because it makes them look like they're doing something, you know, and then the person beating them has to overcome something. You know what I'm saying? I like that. But I can respect a squash match, too, because when I was a little kid and watching Crockett Promotions, NWA, the Road Warriors, when they used to come down, ding, ding, ding.
Oh, it's on.
1, 2, 3. Ding, ding, ding.
Right, it's on. 30 seconds.
11 and a half seconds. So it's like it's a place for all of that. And I think it's a cool thing when you have differences in wrestling, when you have people that do struggle to win and you have people that don't struggle to win. And then when all of a sudden they clash and then you have an interesting match with the person that struggles to win all of a sudden giving the person that don't struggle to win a hard time rather by cheating or whatever, you know, I think it's pretty cool.
I'm still going with Mikey Whitbread because he was underrated. Mm-hmm. I think the kid was underrated so bad. The kid go out there and he would take that ass beating all the time. But then he got his in the end, you know? So, jobbers have their place.
Lanny Poffo actually did something that no other jobber could do. He beat Hulk Hogan on a Saturday Night Main Event. So that's why he's the greatest jobber of all time. Ever.
And I'll take that because I don't like Hulk Hogan.
So. Yeah, you don't like Hulk Hogan.
So I will.
Do you
agree
remember
with you.
When he beat Hulk Hogan? You can't recall.
I can't recall.
Yeah, it was like a Saturday Night Main Event.
See, I didn't get all that good stuff. I had 3 TV channels as a kid.
You had NBC?
No.
Oh wow.
No, sir.
Okay, so where are you from again?
I lived in this small little BS town called Dunnville, Kentucky. Right.
Dunnville.
Yeah, Dunnville. Not Danville. It's south of Danville.
They didn't have NBC.
No. Wow. Well, I had 3 channels, legit. And one of them was KET.
What was that? Independent?
The Kentucky Educational Channel.
Oh, okay.
Kentucky Educational Television. So that's where you got Sesame Street and, you know, the...
You're learning.
What's
learning
the guy's shows. Name that...
Mr.
That,
Rogers.
Well, no, not Mr. Rogers.
Captain Kangaroo?
Him too, but... No, the guy that did the paintings.
Oh, yeah, I know you're talking about.
Yeah.
The Afro.
Yeah, him. So, you know, learn how to paint it. You know, because that... 90% of the time, that was the only channel that came in where I lived.
Wow.
And then I had Fox 56 out of Lexington. And then, way on an occasion, we'd get the third channel in.
What was the third channel?
And it would be ABC.
So what channel did wrestling come on?
So, wrestling used to come on Saturday morning on Fox.
So Fox came in?
Yes.
No NBC?
No.
You know, once upon a time, Fox stations and affiliates were like the weakest stations that, like, signal-wise.
Yes.
Some people couldn't get them. So,
yeah. I could get Fox, I guess, because NBC came from Bowling Green, mm-hmm. which was, like, where I lived on the other side of the mountains.
Okay.
So, you know.
See, we're learning about each other culturally, because I grew up in the city. I don't know much about country living, except I have family in West Virginia, which...
Oh, Lord.
The transition is that I hated going to West Virginia in the summer when I was a kid. My my grandmother lived there. My mother's from there. Her father passed away, and so after he passed away, my grandmother, she didn't drive. So I went over
to
her house.
You always had to go to West Virginia.
Sitting in her house. And what did I have? Atlanta Braves baseball. And when I was a kid, I was an Cleveland Indians fan and a Braves fan. Both teams sucked badly. But they reminded me of each other, so it was okay, you know. And wrestling. And so I saw a lot of Crockett Promotion in West Virginia. WWF came on. Youngsters know it as WWE. But it came on when I was a kid, but it came on like late at night in West Virginia, where Crockett Promotion was on, NWA was on all day. It was on TBS. In the morning on Saturdays, in the evening on Saturdays, on Sundays, and it was like 2-hour shows, sometimes an hour and a half. But yeah, that was like my saving grace. So when I got hit to a tag team called the New Breed, I don't know if you remember them. Chris Champion, Sean Royal. Man, I say to this day, they could have been what the Rockers were and more. They had these like moves that nobody was doing at that time, and they were so charismatic. They made fun of Dusty Rhodes. It was hilarious. Like Sean Royal would be like, "Yeah, Dusty, what you wanna do, Dusty?" Like, it was great. So yeah, so like it was just great memories. Watching NWA wrestling, watching the Horsemen run roughshod. How about this? Now I know you said you love heels, but who was the first wrestler to piss you off?
Shawn Michaels.
Okay.
Even though I loved heels, I told you in the first episode there was one babyface that I absolutely loved among everybody. And I didn't say who it was.
Who was that?
Marty Jannetty. Go on, laugh.
No, Marty was good.
But when Shawn Michaels super kicked him, ran him through that glass, I was done. I was so mad.
Okay, why would you be mad at Shawn Michaels for doing something that you like heels?
Because I was like,
you didn't want him to be a heel?
I didn't want him to beat up on someone that I liked.
Oh, so you liked Marty Jannetty from the beginning?
Yes.
Why?
I was always, actually, there's one baby face.
Was it because he was cute? What was it?
I mean, I don't know. I was 11, 12, 13 years old when the Rockers was coming up and doing their thing. And, of course, you got sexy Shawn Michaels. But to me, Marty Jannetty wasn't always the cuter one.
Mm-hmm.
And being a little young teenage girl, hot pants, you know, I'm like, oh, he's so cute and he's my favorite.
Hot pants that you're still wearing today. Y'all should see this. Okay, go ahead.
But, you know, he tried to super kick Marty Jannetty, put him through that plate glass window, and I was just... You know that look when Undertaker got beat, little buddy in the audience?
Yeah, yeah.
That was my look right there. Just, no.
Before we go forward, do you think that fans are standing at the end of WWF matches with their hands on top of their head, hoping they get on TV?
Absolutely.
Have you seen...
Like, I wish they could see me right now.
Head on top of the head.
Absolutely.
Just so they get on TV. But back to the past. First thing that got me mad, I can remember. Maybe something Roddy Piper did. But
well, I loved Roddy Piper, though. So, like, yeah. Everything he done to me, for me, was great.
It could have been something Roddy did, but something I really can think about is when Macho Man, and I love Macho Man Randy Savage, okay? I think Macho Man Randy Savage is tied for the best wrestler ever. It's him and Great Muta in my eyes. Everybody else is second. But when Macho Man beat Tito Santana for the Intercontinental Championship, I was angry. I could not believe he cheated. I couldn't believe he used that pipe. I couldn't believe Elizabeth gave it to him. And I couldn't believe that Tito Santana, man, that dude should have been a heavyweight champion, man. He was phenomenal. He made you believe that, like, he was going to kill whoever he faced. And he fought back and he clawed. He worked hard in the ring. He connected with the fans. And he wasn't just a regular dude. Like, he was Mexican. You know what I'm saying? So it was different. You know what I'm saying? It was pretty cool. He's the only Mexican I had ever seen on TV outside of Sesame Street, right?
And you were just mad at Macho because he was your favorite and he cheated.
But no. He wasn't my favorite then. He's my favorite now. But at that time, like, I had to grow to love Macho Man. But at that time, I just thought he was despicable. And then he went and did the next thing to Ricky Steamboat. And George the Animal still was trying to take Macho's woman. And it was like Macho was so scummy. You was like, yeah, take his woman, man, because he's horrible. Like, Macho.
I loved Macho, but I couldn't stand Miss Elizabeth. I get so much heat for this.
So you thought Sherry was better for him?
Absolutely. Sherry Martel was phenomenal.
They had such great chemistry. They were two lunatics.
Absolutely.
Like, no other person that she managed was a lunatic like Macho Man Randy Savage.
But she was legit.
Yeah.
A lunatic. Have you ever met her? Have you ever met Sherry Martel?
Never met neither one of them.
But you missed out.
You can tell that they are lunatics. Like, they seem like great people, nice people, but that switch. Like,
I could tell you a story about Sherry Martel getting drunk one night.
Uh-oh. You were there with her?
Uh-huh.
Okay.
And so she liked to get drunk and get naked. This one particular time.
Okay, first of all,
in Georgetown,
how
Kentucky.
Are you with Sharon Martell naked? Was she the only one naked?
Yes. She was hot. She was drinking. She just was hot. Peeled her clothes off, went outside in the front yard, and we're like, can somebody get this lady back in the house?
Where were you at?
Georgetown, Kentucky.
Man, a lot of crazy things going on here in Kentucky.
But yeah.
For a place that just got NBC in 2010. Kentucky's wild.
Oh, Sherry Martell. But she was my absolute favorite. Like, just being able, like, she come into a dressing room one time, and, you know, I was way, way young in the business, and, like, she come into the dressing room, and they had built her a little tarp, like, and made her a little separate dressing room, right? She looked, then she's like, what the hell is this? And I was like, well, we made, you know, a separate dressing room, she said. I'm just like one of the boys. And she ripped that son of a bitch down, threw that tarp over against the wall, sat down, got dressed, and I was like.
All right, so I talked earlier about how we had this movie called High Heels, which Amazing Maria is the star of, and I made. And one of the sections of the film, we talk about Sherry Martell. Now, do you see those pictures? Did I put the one with her in Million Dollar Man, right?
Oh, yes.
That's a dope picture, but I don't know if I put this other one in. Have you seen the one where she's, like, naked under Ric Flair's robe?
No.
Oh, my goodness. That might be the sexiest picture she ever took. Ric Flair, you know Ric Flair got some of that. Anyway, there's no way he didn't.
And you know what? More power to her because she was freaking phenomenal. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, Sherry Martell's dope. All right, so we're going to wrap this up and we'll be back and we're going to talk about some other stuff next time. So Shoot Faction Podcast, make sure you tune in. We might not be on iTunes, but we're on MyTunes, MyTunes, MY.
Pow, pow, bang, bang.